Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And I've had some questions and I want to talk to you about a subject, probably one of the most misunderstood subjects in the Bible. Paul uses this term twice, and we're going to look at that. But notice in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, loveth he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. In other words, most of the time the whippings you get from your parents is because you're embarrassing them, and they do it to, for their own benefit. That's mine. And of course, I got a lot because I was just mean and deserved it. I can honestly say I don't think I ever got a whipping that I didn't deserve. And I got some. My daddy would probably be locked up today. And I'm not talking about child abuse, but what the world calls child abuse is not child abuse. It's not abuse if you spank your children. Now, I'm not talking about hurting them, beating them, and all that stuff. But I'm talking about a good spanking. Amen. Say, well, it'll warp their psychic and all that. No, you're warping their psychic by not doing it. And we've took discipline out of the schools and out of the home, and there is not but one other place where they're going to get discipline, and that's the law enforcement. I'd whole lot rather discipline my children and bring them up the way God says bring them up than to let the law enforcement do it. And I'm going to read you some verses in just a moment. But look what he says. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he, God, for our profit. That, here's the reason, we might be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. It's always that way. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Down in verse 14, you'll notice back in verse 10 that in the latter part of the sentence, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So I want to talk to you about the chastening of the Lord. Now, Paul used this term twice. Turn back to and look in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, notice in verse... I'm just going to cut into the passage. Verse 32 now. And he's talking about what they were doing about the Lord's Supper. They called it the Lord's Supper, the Lord's Passover. And that's what it was. It was in, you find it in Matthew. And he's talking about the Passover, the blood of the New Testament and all that. And the Corinthian church was corrupting it, using that as a time to get together. And there were some that was eating and drinking and carrying on. Then they had other people that was in the body, in the church, that didn't have all of that, and they wouldn't share, some was hungry, and it was just a big mess. And Paul rebukes them, and he's correcting them. Now notice what he says in verse 32, but when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. Now look in 2 Corinthians. So that's one time that Paul uses it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, he uses it again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice in verse 9, and he's going through his sufferings. He says, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold we live, as chastened and not killed. Would you say that Paul was chastened? And then the question would come, well, what is the chastening of the Lord? What is the chastisement, so to speak? Well, let me give you Webster's dictionary definition of it, the old Webster's. It's to correct by punishing. It has to punish for the purpose. Now, here's the purpose of reclaiming an offender. It has to do of education, training, learning, teaching, and the word actually is tutoring. When you tutor somebody, what do? You teach them. You train them. Now let me show you how the Holy Spirit used that word and translated it in different places, and then we'll get to the thing. So I know just from this that chastening of the Lord, or the chastisement, whatever how you want to say it, has to do with correcting me and training me. Now look. Notice in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. In verse 9, Hebrews, our text, where was that? Furthermore, when we had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us. Well, there's the word for chastisement. It's corrected. Look in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, and notice in chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. So the word's translated corrected. When you correct a child, you chastise a child. Now that doesn't, there's many ways of correction, is it not? Nowadays we have correction. I've heard Jim say, I'm going to put y'all in time out. And it's always funny with me, now they have time out. When I was coming up, the only time out I wanted was me. I was the one hollering, time out, time out. But today they getting time out. Can't do nothing. Sit over there forever. Well, that's a correction. That's chastisement. Y'all with me? Now look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The word instruction is the same word translated chastisement. So I find out the chastisement is instructions. When you instruct a child, you're giving them chastisement. Okay, let's look on. Look in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6 in verse 4. Ephesians 6, 4. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The word nurture is the same word translated chastisement. You could bring them up in the chastening of and the admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the instruction and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up in the correction and admonition of the Lord. Nurture. When you nurture a child, you're instructing, you're teaching that child, you're showing that child the right way to go. And on the thing goes. That's chastisement. Now, people's got the idea that chastisement is, there's many forms of chastisement. Now, notice another one. Turn to Titus and look in Titus chapter 2. In Titus chapter 2, notice verse 12. Titus chapter 2, verse 12. Teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. The word teaching there is the same word as chastisement. It's translated teaching in Titus 2:12. So when you teach a child, you're chastising the child. You're instructing that child. You're admonishing, you're nurturing that child. One other thing, turn to, back to 1 Timothy and look in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And notice how it's used there. 1 Timothy 1, notice in verse 20. Of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. The word learn is the same Greek word as chastisement. Now, all of this, it has to do with correction. I want to give you an example of correction. Turn to Acts, look in Acts chapter 16. In Acts chapter 16, now, our choices that we make in life, our decisions that we make concerning ourselves has consequences. Would y'all agree with that? And sometimes there are bad consequences. And our decisions bring bad results. And we get ourselves in trouble. And our decisions that we make, and when the bad consequences come from our decisions, we want to blame the Lord. The Lord's doing this. Why is the Lord letting this happen to me? The Lord has nothing to do with it. And the reason why we want to blame the Lord is because we know the Lord can solve the thing. And that He has power to solve it. And we know that He can, but He doesn't. Why? You heard the saying, you made your bed, lie in it. Now, if I get out here on this Highway 21 And I choose to go down that Highway 21 doing 80 mile an hour, 90 mile an hour. That's my choice. And I might get by with it. So I get out there, every time I get out there, I floor it and I go down the road 80, 90 mile an hour. Great. But when I look up in the rearview mirror and I see the blue lights and the lights are flashing, there ain't no need me saying, God, why did this happen to me? Why did you let that highway patrol get in? You could have stopped him. You could have had him to turn somewhere else. I made the choice. Lord, Lord, let him have a flat tire. Let him do something else. Just let me go. No, no, no. I made the choice. I got to pay the piper. The Lord had nothing to do with it. God gets blamed because he don't solve all our problems. God is not your problem solver that you create. Amen? Amen. A woman smoked cigarettes all her life. Me and Jim went to church, first place we went when we died, Mount Olive. All her life, I remember, one right after another. A year or so ago, they called. Pray for Mama. She don't, why did the Lord let, she's got lung cancer. Pray that God help. God ain't going to heal her. She died. Of all the prayers, it was her decision. Don't you understand? The Lord wasn't punishing her. The Lord wasn't chastening her. The Lord might have tried to correct her. She probably didn't listen. You make choices that affect your life and your family. You live with them. Don't blame God. Amen. People don't like this type of stuff because they want somebody to blame than themselves. We live in a society where it's always somebody else's fault. Man goes out here and robs a bank. He gets caught. Well, come back from my childhood. I was abused when I was a child. And I just couldn't help myself. All baloney. Just wicked as hell, that's all it is. And there ain't none of us any. We got the old nature. Well, I was 3 years old and I was a bit, how do you know? Well, some psychiatrist told me that. Folks, the God of this world, that's where the wisdom of this world comes from. Now let me give you some verses. Here's an example of correction in Acts 16. Acts 16, notice the Apostle Paul. In verse there, notice verse 5, so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone throughout Perga and the regions of Galatia and were what? Forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. Were they going to Asia to preach the word? If they wasn't, why were they forbidden? How did the God forbid them? Who knows? He might have sent somebody by. He might have done something that they couldn't. But they were forbidden. You know what that is? That's correction. That's chastisement. I'm going to do this and you start over there and something just falls apart. Lord, why in the world did I have my can't get over there? Take it that the Lord don't want you to go over there. And he's correcting you. Notice in verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they assailed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. There he is correcting them again. He wouldn't allow them. He let them go over here. Then he wouldn't let them go over there. He put up a roadblock somewhere. Something would hinder them. Turn to Romans and look in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1 verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among the other Gentiles. And that word let is an old English word, and it has to do with hindering. It's like putting a bucket down a well. You just don't throw it, drop it in the well. You let it down in the well. Why? What do you mean? You let it. You restrain it. You hold it back. You so it don't just muddy up the water when it hits the water. And that he said, I purposed to come unto you, but I was hindered. I was let somewhere. I couldn't come. Sometimes things happen to you, and sometimes things don't work out because God don't want you to go that direction. Don't cry about it. Thank the Lord for it. Chastisement is correction. Now let me give you, turn to Proverbs and look in Proverbs. Now no chastisement, we've read, it's all grievous. And I'm going to get to the heart of it. It's just 15 after. Just hang in there. And look in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Notice in verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. Well, that's a present. He's going to correct every son. The problem today is everybody looks at things as always bad as correction, and it's not. In other words, you hear it preached, if you don't pay your tithes, God's going to put you in the hospital and have it took out. I've heard that all my life. Or something bad's going to happen. I didn't pay my tithes and my car run into a post, and I heard a guy telling about that, and it costed him 10 times what his tithes were. I don't believe that. I believe the correction of the Lord has to do with guidance, instruction, tutoring you, leading you, hindering you. And sometimes it is grievous, and sometimes it is painful. But look what he said. He said, my son, despise it not. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. He's going to guide you. If you be led of the Spirit, what's the next part of that verse in Romans 8? Well, let's just hold on to Proverbs. Come over to Romans 8. We're coming right back to Proverbs. But look in Romans chapter 8. The Bible says there in Romans 8, and he's talking about the sons of God. Notice what he says. I'm just going to, well, I'm really going to jump ahead of myself. I don't. Notice verse 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If Christ be in you, where is Christ now? He's in you, right? The body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. No doubt about where he dwells. Come down to verse, let's just read verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, we shall also be glorified together. I'm going to go back to this in a moment. The point I want to make is where you're at today. I mean, you're not in the flesh if you're saved. The flesh can only hinder you. God is not going to judge your flesh. You're in the what? You are in a spiritual creation. When the Holy Spirit, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That body is the body of Christ, is it not? Does God Almighty see you in your flesh? What does he see you in? The Spirit. What is the Spirit? Christ. Are there any sins that he can judge you for? I feel like I'm failing here for some reason. Look back in Proverbs and let's just move on. We'll come back to Romans 8. In Proverbs chapter 3, look in chapter 13. Proverbs 13. You know some good verses. Proverbs 13. How many of you have ever heard spare the rod, spoil the child? How many believes that in the Bible? Well, let's not. Sorry. I didn't knew that raised your hand. I know you did that because you was taught that it was in the Bible. It's not in the Bible. But this verse is. Proverbs 13, you won't answer another question, will you? Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod, what? Hateth the Son. He that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Look in Proverbs 23:14. Proverbs 23:14. Proverbs 23:14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. You train up a child in the way it should go. When it's old, it shall not depart from that. People that are brought up to go to church usually go to church. Amen. People are corrected. It has its benefits. So is the chastening. I read all these because these is where it's used at in the Bible. Now, let me say this. Chastisement has to do with pain. The only way you're going to have is painful, no matter what. Correction, whatever. Taking something away from it, correction. Well, what about us? Most of the time, it's our choices that bring disaster in our life. Most of the time, we don't do what the Bible says in Proverbs. While you're there, look back in chapter chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. We want to try to understand, and what we don't understand, we just discard. Lean not, but you should trust in the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. I believe that's a principle. And I think it's a principle we should follow. Now, let me go on about this. So what does it do? Does God whip his children? Yes. He sure does correct them. He sure does chastise them. He sure does guide them. Amen?
Amen.
Does he cause for sin? No. Jesus Christ, and while you're there, just turn over to Isaiah, look in Isaiah chapter 53. In Isaiah 53, passage to Israel. God Almighty chastised and brought diseases and pain and rods and everything and beat the children of Israel for their idolatry. You can read that in Leviticus 26, I think it is. And most of that was to the nation Israel, physical. Jesus Christ came. And we have been judged. Did he die? Look in verse chapter 3, Isaiah chapter 53, verse, let's see. Well, verse 5. He was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed, and people use that all the time. But the point I want you to make is an application there, the chastisement of our peace. We have peace with God through our what? Lord Jesus Christ. God Almighty died for your sins. God put his son to death for your sins. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that he was delivered. God delivered him up. God gave his son for you. Don't you understand that? And so, I'm out here. And I was born. Here, I'm leaving this world sometime. My sins in there was all put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ died for all of my sins. I trust that. I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe he died for me. I believe that he went to that cross and he literally paid for blind sight's sins. Every one of them. They're all gone. I have been judged for my sins. I have been chastised for my sins. I have paid for my sins in Christ. Everybody clear? Can God ever judge me again for my sins? No, they're all took care of. So, I'm in Christ. And I'm in what is called the body of Christ. So, let me put it up here like this. Out here. Let's say that's the body of Christ. That's people that are saved by the grace of God that don't deserve it. And Christ is the head. For God to judge me as a member of the body of Christ, would he be judging his son again? Yes, he would. It'd be like, hand, I'm going to judge you and take a hammer and hit my little finger. Whew. He's not going to judge and bring against his son what he's already judged him for. We are not in the flesh. We're in Christ. Everything we have is in Christ. We are justified by faith in Christ. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ. We're redeemed by the blood of Christ. Look, do you remember the definition? Punished for the purpose of claiming the offender. Jesus Christ was punished and chastised for to reclaim you, the offender, to bring you back into the correction. And he corrected what was wrong. I'm chastised in Christ. Now what about the decisions I make? I won't be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, but I will for my sins. But there's a day of coming. My sins is judged back here. My works will be judged over here. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know something? We live in the dispensation of grace. You want to serve the Lord? You can serve the Lord. You don't want to serve the Lord? You don't have to serve the Lord. He ain't going to do nothing to you. But when you get at the judgment seat of Christ, don't weep and cry and say, God this, God that. Nope, nope. You had the opportunity. Your works is going to be tried by fire. Your works is going to be judged. God ain't going to do nothing to you down here. He's done all he's going to do for you in his son. Look what he said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Wherefore we labor, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Verse 10. That everyone may receive the things done in his body. Things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good things or what things? Good things or bad? Now read what them bad is. Oh, we don't have no problem listing the good, but what's the bad? What's bad works? Well, look in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit. And that word lust there is desire. Same thing. It's love. It's like the love of money. The lust, the desire of money is the root of all evil. The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. You know what your biggest problem is? Not the devil. The devil, I doubt if the devil is concerned with what Brian Sipes is doing. I was like somebody told me, well, anyway, look at verse 18. But if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And folks, that's the works of the flesh. Well, you're in the flesh, you're in a body of flesh, and it's a body of sin, but yet you're in the spirit. This is the spirit. Your body is contrary to the spirit man. And that old flesh, most people let the flesh revive and take control and they live to fulfill the lust of their flesh, you're going to burn at the judgment. Not you, but your works. Do y'all understand? God ain't going to do nothing to you. Now, how does He correct you today? Before we go on, you remember, compare something with me in Hebrews chapter 7. And my time is gone, but look in chapter 12. And notice what He said in verse 10. And I want you to compare something with me. I want you to take Ephesians and look in Ephesians chapter 4, I believe it is. And notice what He says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 10. For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but for our profit, that we might be partakers of His holiness. Why did the Lord chase? And by the way, Hebrews is wrote to who? Hebrews. Now, why did the Lord chasten the Hebrews and the Israel? He just said that we might be partakers of His holiness, right? Why holiness? Verse 14, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Can you see the Lord without holiness? You can't. So God, these people get corrected. They get, chastised, so they will be holy. Amen? Look in Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22. That ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, that's the flesh, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and what? That new man is holy, right? And it's created. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man lies. The old man, he wants to do the works of the flesh, and he will do them if you let him. But what do? You reckon yourself to be dead indeed unto him. You don't pay no attention to him. And at best, he's going to come up. And that's why we do what we do most of the time. I found out people do what they want to do. You're going to do what you want to do. So the chastisement, how does He correct us? Well, look in this one last verse. Turn to 2 Timothy. And notice in 2 Timothy, I said last, but I've got to look in 1 Corinthians also. Take 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Here's how the Lord will correct you. Now, a lot of the bad things you say that people say the Lord does is just circumstances. It's being at the wrong place at the wrong time. It's being... I've been in places where two Christian girls that had testimonies of the Lord involved in a wreck. One gets killed, the other don't. Why did the Lord let that happen? Did He favor that one that got that that's alive more than the one that? It was just being in a man-made vehicle that somebody just... A mistake was made and a car crashed. God didn't have nothing to do with it. We live in the devil's world, don't you see? And there's people out there that would kill you. We have to lock our doors. It ain't the wrath of God on you. He's done bore the wrath for you. It's just circumstance. People's mean today. They'll break in, steal everything you got. They'll break in and try to, they'll kill you over nothing. And it's like a demoniac spirit that's over the world today. And people's changed. They're impatient. They're short-tempered. You look at them wrong, they're liable to shoot you. Think about all this. And the body of Christ, the restraining force that's holding back the mystery of iniquity and everything, she's not populated like she was. And things is going to get worse. Paul said evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for what? For correction, for chastisement. You know how the Lord corrects you today? Through His Word. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, unbelievers, will they not say that ye are all mad? Yeah, that's what they'd say. It's a madhouse in there, man. Confusion and everything else. And thus, now here's my verse. Verse 24, but if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all. Convicted. That's what the word is. He is judged. Paul said if we're judged, we're chastened. Judgment, chastened. He is judged of all. What? And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. Have you ever heard, well, you stepped on my toes today. You know what you just told? The Lord reveals something to you. You ever been sitting there and the preacher preaching and you think, how in the world, he know that? I didn't. People get mad at the preacher for preaching the Word of God because the Word of God hits them and it convinces them and convicts them and it judges them and it chastens them. Be like going out there and taking your broom handle to the mail carrier, go out there and beat the tar out of the mailman for bringing you a bad letter. Why do you want to get mad at the preacher for preaching the Word of God? That's God's Holy Spirit trying to correct you. He's chastening you. And that's how He does it. But the problem is we don't have many preachers that have preached the Word of God rightly divided. God don't want you fear, living for Him out of fear. He wants you to live for Him because you love Him for what He's done for you. The Lord ain't whipping people and judging people for their sins. He's going to do that in your works. And you go out and you live and you fulfill the lust of your flesh and you just do as you please, then when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, them bad works, that wood, hay, and stuff, they're going to burn at the judgment seat of Christ. You try to do what you do, and you try to serve the Lord, and you try to honor God through His Word, you'll have rewards. But you'll never face your sins again. Why? You've already been chastised for them in Christ. You see, I died with Him in A.D. 33. You know, when He was on that cross, God saw me on that cross. when God Almighty, Jesus Christ, hung up there and He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit, and He gave up the ghost and He died, I died. That's my death up there. It's as though I died. As far as God's concerned, I was on the cross, I was judged for my sins, He paid for my sin, I went down to hell with Christ, and on the third day I rose with Him, and I'm seated with Him right now in heavenly places. I'm already glorified with the Lord Jesus Christ, and God does not see any impurities in me. But if I fulfill the lust of my flesh and don't honor Him, I'm going to suffer at the judgment seat of Christ. And you live a life that brings reproach against the name of the Lord, and you live a life that brings a reproach against the ministry of the Lord, God won't let it get by at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where the pain's going to be. All right, shake hands.